I've got this great story for you this morning about this USC researcher from the University of the Sunshine Coast. And he's basically trying to farm this native red seaweed that the CSIRO has found virtually eliminates methane emission in cattle and sheep when it's fed as a dietary additive.
So the antidote to burping cows?
Yes.
Is seaweed?
Yeah.
Is it burping or farting?
Mostly burping.
Mm.
Little bit of farting.
Okay. Is there a ratio there that we know, science-wise?
I think Nick actually explains that.
Does he?
Okay. In the interview.
That's
very good to hear. At the moment, livestock account for about 60% of all greenhouse gas emissions from Australia's agriculture sector.
Yeah.
But
what's the total impact of methane on the atmosphere?
I'm not sure.
From cows.
But they were saying, the CSIRO was saying that livestock in Australia are responsible for about 10% of the country's overall emissions. Now,
okay.
This seaweed supplement isn't that useful in a pasture situation at the moment because you've got to feed it daily. And
right. How much?
More useful, only a small amount.
Like a little bit of powder,
Yeah.
In there.
So I haven't spoken to the CSIRO scientists on this because Marty McCarthy actually did a few stories a couple of years ago.
How is Marty going, Jen? Have you heard from Marty?
I don't know, but it looks like he's having wonderful holiday pictures over in the United States.
He's in the US, is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Lots of swimming.
I know he tunes in from time to time, so morning, Marty, if you're there this morning.
And
on the Listen app.
So the guts of this, Rob, is that...
Is that a pun?
No, it's not. It's very serious.
Because what does the seaweed do in the gut to stop the methane being impactful on the atmosphere?
Well,
should we just play the thing? Is he talking?
Well, he doesn't talk about that so much because his side of it is actually trying to ramp up production of the seaweed so that when this research is finished and the CSIRO scientists have proven that what they're doing really works in a commercial setting,
everyone's going to want the
then
seaweed.
Everybody's going to want the seaweed. So Nicholas Paul's side of it is growing this seaweed, which is honestly, very unattractive.
Right.
So we'll join him over the vats at the University of the Sunshine Coast. Oh, sorry. Yes, the University of the Sunshine Coast.
Over the vats?
Over the vats of broiling seaweed or bubbling seaweed.
He's boiling it, cooking it?
No, it's bubbling. Bubbling away with the aeration at the Bribie Island Research Centre.
Okay. That looks completely gross.
It's beautiful. I did my PhD on this seaweed. Don't say that.
You're biased. This looks like something that would grow, you know, in a scummy water trough.
You'd think that, but the reality is that it's just off our coast at the wonderful Moffat Beach. So,
what's this one?
It's a red seaweed called Asparagopsis. So it's sometimes called iodine weed because of the smell. It smells a bit like betadine. In the early 1900s, people realised that two really distinct looking seaweeds were actually the one species, but it had two different life stages. So a fluffy pink stage, which is what we're looking at the moment.
In front of us,
yeah. The one that you eloquently referred to as snot. That's probably an apt description. So that particular stage is the diploid stage. And then there's what we call a gametophyte, which is this asparagus-looking one. So really a big shaped seaweed around about 15 to 20 centimetres high. Totally different looking, and people realised over time that they're actually related to the one species. So it really helped our understanding of biology and that algae are doing all these crazy things out there, living in really different ways that animals do. The exciting research that this particular seaweed was involved in was around about 5 years ago, people tested to see whether or not it could be used to reduce methane emissions. So the burping that cattle do when as they're ruminants, when they're digesting grass, a lot of the breakdown products are actually methane, and that has a huge effect on our global greenhouse gas emissions. In Australia, it's around about 10% of our total emissions, just to put it in perspective. And so what we found was that a small amount of this seaweed, so less than 2% of the dry matter when it's fed to cows, actually completely knocks out methane production. And what it does is it takes out the particular microbes that are called methanogens that are making the methane from the rumen, so the gut of their cattle. And by doing that, it actually means that not only is the methane sort of stopped, but the cows are actually happy and the good bacteria can get on with the business of breaking down the grass for their feet.
Solving the issues of burping, farting cattle.
Yes, remember 95% burp, 5% the other end.
Now, I have heard some stories already done on this. Where are the trials at and where are you taking it to?
Yeah, so a lot of this work is being led by CSIRO and trying to make sure that the use of the seaweed and working with partners around the world is actually being done in a way that doesn't affect the business, of course. So making sure that the cows are healthy, the cows are happy to eat the seaweed. If we're talking about beef, that the beef quality is there. If we're talking about dairy, then the milk quality is there. So these are trials that are happening at scale in different parts of the world, including the US. One big factor here, though, is that we have the demand, but we don't have the supply. And up until now, people have been collecting the seaweed from nature, so wild harvests, and that's fine. That's something that we have to do with all new innovations, is look to nature as a way of providing the biological resource and then working on it after that. But the reality is that at a certain point when the consumer demand is there, then we need to actually produce it sustainably. And the only way to do that is through aquaculture. The first step in any aquaculture is domesticating it, taking the seaweed from the coast and actually producing it and scaling it up in tanks that we can see in front of us here. So we've got a range of different biological questions that we have to answer. So which strains of seaweed, so which types of that particular species are out there, what characteristics do they have, and can they actually be grown at scale, and then work out what the active ingredient is as well and make sure that both those things are maximized. So we want, in the perfect world, fastest growing species that we can find, but then also the one that produces the most of the active ingredient, the chemical that's actually knocking out the methane production.
And so far, how many different types of seaweed have you been trialing?
So at the moment, it's one particular genus of seaweed. So it's called Asparagopsis. There's a warm water one, which we have off the coast here of Queensland, and there's a cold water one, which goes all the way down to Hobart, so around Tasmania. And so those two species both have the same effect on methane reduction. So what we're looking now is actually within that group. So how many natural populations are there that are out there that we can go and collect and try to find the ones that have the highest natural combinations of both growth and the bioproduct? For the last year, we've been really focusing in on trying to find some of those strains that grow the best. And so what we're looking at here is a whole array of small buckets where we're collecting at different times from different places and trying to work up those particular strains to see whether or not they can be grown.
And has it been happy in an aquaculture setting?
It is, yeah. So here at the Bribie Island Research Centre, we have like the perfect mix of input. So we've got beautiful, clean water that's coming from off the coast. We add a small amount of nutrients as well because there's quite a lot of the seaweed there. So you need, just like when you're growing any crops, you still need to add some small amount of fertiliser. And then it's growing in a really dense amount because the nice thing is that in nature, a lot of the time seaweeds are attached to the rock, so attached to the base. But when you move them into tanks, they actually can grow free moving. So they can all tumble around. They never really know which way is up or which way is down. So they take on these different forms. And by doing that, we can actually grow much more algae, so seaweed, in any given unit area than we can other land plants.
Where to next?
So we need to start scaling up, even doing a cow trial. You need quite a bit of feed. So we're really looking at trying to get production happening of this particular species in tanks to begin with, working out the costs of production and how we can actually do it in an economically viable way. And then in the future, look to, can we start to settle and use this facility as a hatchery or a seed stock facility to be able to grow the seaweed out off the coast to be able to really get some of that scale of impact.
That's Dr. Nicholas Paul from the University of the Sunshine Coast, and I'll be really following his research with some interest in the coming years because he's doing some exciting stuff.
Could you put the seaweed in where they burn the coal? That's not methane, is it? That's carbon dioxide.
But they're
I'm thinking big here.
Well, Nick Paul has worked overseas where they're farming seaweed in the wild, like on lines of rope.
Yep.
So they're looking at whether they could potentially do that here. They're, as he was saying, trying it with the vats and finding that you can get more of it into those vats. So, yeah, that ugly red seaweed has a whole lot of promise if they can get everything to work.
Yeah, 95% out the mouth, 5% out the other end.
Yep.
I thought it was a more Or yeah. evenly shared, but no.
So it'd be fascinating to talk to the CSIRO. They're up just south of Townsville. They've got a big research centre up there. But Nick was telling me that they're doing research right around the world at the moment
yeah.
with producers and the seaweed.
A fraction of the international impact.
So less than 1% of the dry diet, they're finding it knocks out the enzymes that are responsible for the cattle and sheep producing methane.
Methanogens, you
see. In the stomach,
good
in
story.
The rumen.
The rumen.